UHFR.
You guys are really doing this.
We're like the Beavis and Butthead of the radio.
And what does that make me?
What do you mean?
There are two guys, Beavis and Butthead.
No.
Don't you talk down to us.
But you have three people on the show.
Let me see if your math is right here.
This may take a while.
So my question is...
We're holding our breath.
If you guys are Beavis and Butthead, then what does that make me?
You can be Stewart.
I don't think I feel as excited about this as you guys do.
That's noise pollution.
On the only station that's making waves,
WHFR.
The performing arts are an important facet of life. There is no substitute for the relationship between audience and performer. Your contributions to the Henry Ford Community College Theater Program enable students and faculty to continue promoting HFCC's artistic standards. By becoming a member of the Friends of HFCC Theater, you are allowing the theater program to prosper through establishing a scholarship fund, improving costume and scene shop facilities, and enabling the continuation of musical theater productions. For more information on becoming a Friend of HFCC Theater, call 313-845-6478.
It's that time of year. Time to register at Henry Ford Community College for the 2013 fall semester. Most of the classes that you will take at Henry Ford Community College will transfer to major four-year institutions in the area. Also, HFCC has some of the lowest tuition rates around. First-time students can go to the Welcome Center on campus. Call 800-585-HFCC or go to the web at www.hfcc.edu for more information. Fall semester starts August 22nd, so register today to get the best choice for classes. See you there.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, and this program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Annette Rochelle Aben, and she is also known as Sister Angel, and along with all that good stuff, she's also an on-air personality for Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, doing her shows called In Touch Interviews and Ready, Set, Intention. And I just want to say welcome to the show, Annette. Thank you for deciding to do it.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure and my honor. I'm so glad that you've invited me, and I'm looking forward to the rest of where we head with all of this great discussion.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you as well. And the reason I'm having Annette on is she has been gracious enough, along with Penny Golden of Body, Mind, Spirit magazine, she set up an interview with Annette over the last couple of years for me to promote the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, and I thought turnabout was fair play here, and I just thought I'd have Annette on since she's interviewed me twice. I guess I owe you one still, but I thought that anyway we'd have this conversation and see where it leads. So once again, thank you for having me on in the past to promote that event. It's helped a great deal. I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's not only a wonderful thing to be able to have such a great event to promote, but the fact that such an event actually exists that more people need to know about. The wonderful thing about Body, Mind, Spirit Radio is that it's international. Now, how would that or wouldn't that help somebody who's got a local event is amazing, because you never know who's listening in some other part of the world who might have family here in the Dearborn or Detroit area, who might have been part of Henry Ford Community College at one time or another, or might say, you know, that sounds like a wonderful event, and either A, be able to attend, B, get in touch with somebody in the area and say, hey, you got to go there, or C, they could send a check in the mail, and next thing you know, you've got somebody donating money that'll never even walk through your doors, but they really liked what you had to say. And I believe that sense of community spreads to all corners of the world. So that works for us, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a win-win situation. Is that it?
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. it's the duty and the responsibility of everybody who is tuned in, so to speak, to be there to support each other. It is why everybody does what they do. It's why you do what you do. You know, why would you bother to raise money to keep things going at the studio if there wasn't some sort of responsibility either implied or just genuinely felt? I mean, you're very sincere about what you do, and that is something that I believe both Penny Golden, myself, and everybody who listens to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio participates feels. So this is awesome. And we're all psychically connected, too. So by us elevating the energy for you, it in turn elevates the energy for us. Each one of us has a gift to bring. Each one of us has a story to tell. And if we've got more people tuned into listening, not only will they hear our stories and experience our gifts, but they will open up and share their stories and their gifts. That's the power of enlightenment, and that's the path of ascension.
Well, that is true. But let's get to you right now. In my introduction, I mentioned that you were also known as Sister Angel. Can you tell us about that?
That's funny. Yes, I can remember, well, I should say for as long as I can remember, I've felt the presence of, spoken with, spoken to, and otherwise been surrounded by angels. And many people will say, well, how do you know? What do you mean by that? And yet there are others out there, the ever-popular Doreen Virtue, a lovely lady named Sophie Burnham, who have written books and books and books and created oracle cards and decks and things that we can buy, tools of divination, to help us connect with the angels. Well, what I come from, or where I come from, and what I come to talk about, what I've come to talk about, was the fact that people in every walk of life, regardless of how special they feel they are or they aren't, regardless of how metaphysically talented or challenged they feel they are or they aren't, connects with an angel, whether or not they realize it. So the angel might be just that warm presence that you feel in a time of need. It may be the, like the wing around your shoulder. And I know you and I have spoken. I've actually had that experience that was mind-blowing to know that an angel wing would rest on my shoulder. And I could scarce believe it, and yet I understood it. Other people speak of angel encounters where they were in extreme peril, and out of nowhere, somehow, some way, they were removed from the situation so they were not any longer in danger. I've had that experience as well as the experience of speaking with somebody, wide open street, absolutely no place for this person to disappear to, and literally in the turn of a head and back again, this individual was gone. And I just sat there and I looked 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 and I thought, you got to be kidding me. Where did that guy go? Where did he go? He had to be somewhere. So those are just a few of the experiences that many other people can relate to. I've had several others that there's no way I would want people to relate to them because they were born of extremely difficult situations that I was experiencing in my youth. And as a result, I went into what I would like to call the witness protection program with the angels, where they just sort of took me away, and I literally have no memory of my life during those times, except that I have this extremely peaceful knowing that I was with a group of beings, even though I didn't know I wasn't present at the time. I just know that I know what it's like to be with angels, and as my life has unfolded over the last few decades, people who knew what went on in my life filled me in on things that happened, and I was able to, with that and the guidance of some very, very talented medical professionals, piece some time back together in my life. The only thing I can attribute it to is I was with the angels. So, and they call me Sister Angel because a group of my friends and I call each other Sistars, which is capital S, small I, capital S, small T, small A, small R, small S, Sistars. Like, we're all stars, but we're sisters.
Okay.
And one of my friends jokingly said, well, you're always talking to the angels, so you're Sister Angel. And that's how Sister Angel came to be.
Mm-hmm. So. And it just stuck, more or less.
Absolutely. It's my tag on Twitter, if anybody wants to follow me, Sister Angel. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Sister Angel, or at Sister Angel, rather.
When did you first become aware that angels were a part of your life?
Oh, my gosh. I think the awareness came many years after the experiences. In other words, it's one of those things where you look back in retrospect and go, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And I would like to say that one of the ones that sticks out in my mind in the most profound sense was back in the 90s. Yeah, back in the 90s, you know, last century is what I almost said, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that just seems like too space cadet-y to say, but it's true. And I was traveling down I-75, very, very busy highway from Monroe, Michigan to Trenton, Michigan, on a December evening, Saturday evening, as a matter of fact, very snowy evening. And as I'm driving up 75 to make an appointment, I realized that this huge truck was behind me, and it wanted me to go faster than I could go. The left-hand lane was all snow-covered, so I wasn't about to go that way. The right-hand lane, I could see. Well, actually, I couldn't see, and that was part of the problem, because there were all these lights around me, and I couldn't see. I assumed the lights were coming from the truck, and the truck kept bearing down on me, and I refused to move. So I popped my arms out straight. I'm doing it right now. This is so silly, and I'm holding on to the wheel of my car. And I held onto the wheel of that car, and I remember saying out loud, I am not moving this car. You go around me. You're a truck. You can see. I can't. And at that moment, my entire car slid to the left, and I mean literally slid to the left. I'm in the left-hand lane, and I'm not even realizing at first what's going on. But as I slid, it was a car hauler. It was an empty car hauler, actually, went whizzing past me, and as soon as it went past me, my car slid back to the right. Now, this was a matter of seconds. I never broke the grip on the steering wheel. I never unlocked my arms. I never took a breath. That's how fast this happened. And the minute it happened, I realized that that lane next to me was still snow-covered. There were other cars all over the place, and that truck was just gone. I mean, gone, to the point where there was no way I could see its lights anymore, and again, a matter of seconds. And I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, there was no way those big lights I was seeing had to be from the truck, because obviously, you know, in your mind plays tricks on you, but when you're driving, you realize that the headlights of the vehicle behind you come right through your back window. Well, these lights were all around my car. I mean, all around my car, top, side, the whole nine yards, yet they weren't in front of me. They were just around me. And it moved, and it came back. And I believe, first of all, that those were angels that moved my vehicle. Secondly, I believe those lights I saw were angels letting me know that they were there, and they were going to show me that they could always be counted on in any situation and always be called upon, or are always there for me to call upon by moving me and bringing me back, because there really was no rush for that empty car hauler. There was no reason for me to go through that. And when I got to the destination, I was quite rattled, and I told my story I was going to an Advent service. I was performing. I'm a singer. And I was performing for the Advent service when I walked in and told them my story. They made me the keynote speaker, and everybody just sat in awe and listened. When I got back in my car to drive back to Monroe, because I had another appointment, I left an appointment to go to an appointment, was heading back, the street was clear. There was no traffic. There was no worries. It was like it hadn't snowed. I wasn't in that location for more than 20 minutes. And then, boom, back in my car and out again. So, again, that was when I first realized, hey, this is pretty dang miraculous. The next angel encounter occurred with the individual that I met on the street. That had to be just maybe 8 months later, not even that. It was summer of 95. So maybe it was a year. Yeah, maybe not even. No, it was like a year and a half later. And I'm standing out broad daylight in front of the newspaper that I wrote for at the time, and I was sticking my column in the drop box. And this gentleman on a bicycle came up to talk to me, and just a bespectacled gentleman of a Caucasian bent with brown hair and nothing, I mean, nothing out of the ordinary, not like he had the looks of an Adonis, or he was, in other words, nothing so memorable that it would have stuck out. Even his voice, very normal. I can't even tell you the conversation, Mike. All I know is that I said, he asked me a question, and I said, just a minute, put my finger up, turned around, turned back, he was gone. And I could see all the streets around me, the side street where I was standing on this little porch. And everywhere, there was no man on a bicycle, there was no way he could have moved that quickly, there was no car waiting to take him in, he was gone. I mean, gone, gone, gone. And again, I think that it said to me that what the angels were trying to explain to me was there are going to be times you are going to meet people and you will never know if those are angels or not. So you treat everybody as though they were there to be helpful, and treat everybody as though, and I don't remember the Bible verse, but it the part of it says, lest ye be entertaining angels unaware. In other words, you better be on your best behavior because you never know when you're going to be talking to an angel. So those are just a couple of the ways that I remember them manifesting in my life, and not necessarily at the moment even understanding why, but in retrospect going, oh, okay, that's cool. So that's that part of it that I thought would be, of all the little stories, probably the most entertaining, the thing that people would understand the most, the thing that people could relate to the most.
Mm-hmm. And briefly, I just want to mention that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Annette Rochelle Aben. She is known as Sister Angel and also is an on-air personality for Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Those are very powerful messages that you conveyed. And basically, it's to treat everybody with respect. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe to also not allow ourselves to believe that we are ever, ever alone. And I think that that was one of the most poignant things, because when I got to that Advent speaking engagement, what I spoke about and the experience was not what the guest speaker, the actual intended speaker, was there to talk about. That was not, I was there to sing the song, Here I Am, Lord, which is all about devoting my life to service. And I'd heard it at a women's retreat earlier in the year, that I was there with a friend that asked me then to perform at the Advent service. And I was moved to tears. I'd never heard anything like this song. I thought, this is one of the coolest songs. I am so touched. And I remember my friend Barb looking at me. She goes, oh, my gosh, you're crying. What are you crying for? You're like the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. You're sitting here crying. And I started laughing, and I said, Barb, that is the most beautiful song I've ever heard. And I had performed for various functions that she and I were part of prior to that. So she knew I could sing, and she said, you know what? Why don't you sing this for our Advent tea, our Advent evening? And I said, sure, why not? So that set me up for what happened several months later at the Advent service. And I was going there just to sing that song. The other lady was speaking about something. Heaven only knows what it was. It was in the program. I don't even remember what it was. But the message that I remember sharing with these people was, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, you have got an angel with you. This was amazing. It's life-changing. And I think that it was more the way I presented it than necessarily what I said that got them to look at me like they weren't sure if they were going to believe me, or they weren't sure that they were afraid to not believe me. It's like, for heaven's sakes, it's got to have some kind of credence. I mean, we're all women of God, and therefore we should remember this. So I believe that that was a huge message in regards to that particular event. But I think the angels also wanted me to understand that they are talking to me, and that they will get through to me however they need to, so that I will then send a message out, which is interesting, because I know that they would give me messages every day. They would talk to me. I mean, not so much like you and I are speaking right now, or I'm speaking, yak, 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 but more a knowingness inside. Like when, and I have been on the other side, I have spoken to individuals that have crossed over. Yet one of my many journeys and roles in this journey here on this planet, and we speak through mind connection. Lips do not move. So it's almost like you're reading the mind of that energy. And it's always loving. It's always caring. It's always beautiful. And I believe the angels were sending me that information. And for the longest time, I just took it and used it through my day. And then one day, I got this newfangled thing called a laptop computer. And I had internet service in my home. And I went, oh, my gosh. And I had a friend that was in trouble. So I sent her this message from the angels. A couple days later, she wrote back. She says, you have no idea what that did for me. Thank you. So a few days later, I was moved to send another one out. Well, one day I woke up, and I was typing, like journaling, what the angels were saying. And this voice said, so you think you're the only person we mean this for? Why aren't you just journaling this in a book? If it was meant to just be in a book, it wouldn't be for everybody. hit the send button, Annette. So I started to send it out regularly to a few people. And in a matter of just weeks, I was receiving emails from people I didn't know who said, "Hi, I'm a friend of Mike Holloway's, and he says he gets these angel messages from you every morning. Would you please put me on your email list?" And I literally had to create Yahoo groups to send these out. Then I get emails from people saying, "I hope you don't mind, but I've sent this out to my email friends, and they've sent it out to their email friends." And within the course of, let's say, 6 months, there were tens of thousands of people reading these every day, which just made the angels sing. They were ecstatic. I mean, absolutely ecstatic. It was like they were dancing for joy, because messages were getting out. People were hearing them. People's lives were being touched. And it took them several, and like I said, there are several other occasions. They're just now flipping into my head about, "Oh, yeah, I remember that one time doing this and that other time doing that, and you knew that was an angel that saved your life." And I'm like, "Yes, I do." So I think that they were really at me to get me to share that message. And now every morning on my Facebook page, and everybody's welcome to go to Annette Rochelle Avon on Facebook and sign up, I mean, or subscribe. It doesn't matter. You don't have to become my friend. You're welcome to. Thousands are. That's a crazy thing, too. I don't know who all these people are, but they want these messages, because every single day I post them on Facebook. Every single day they go back out through the email and just have someone say, "I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to use these as messages at my job." She's actually a manager at a Taco Bell in Sandusky, Ohio.
All right.
And she says, "I'm going to use these as messages of the day, but I'll give you credit." And I say, "You're going to give me credit. These are angel messages. These are for everybody. Just let them know they're from the angels. Print them exactly as they are written, so that they know these are from the angels, so that these can help people." So I think it's kind of cool. I think it's kind of really neat. I don't mind being a messenger. I have no problem doing that.
Right. No, that's very cool. You are a conduit for the thoughts and advice that angels feel that the general population needs. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, whenever you're in trouble or feeling blue or you think you need advice, do you often turn to angels for their wisdom?
Every moment of every day. I joke you not. And I'll tell you the one thing that I do, and it isn't just needing help. I just say thank you. And you've been in my office. You've seen there's angels everywhere. They're mm-hmm. hanging off curtain rods. They're up on the walls. They're all over the place. And that's just the half of it. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when people leave my house, I give them an angel.
Right.
And what happens is I get 2 or 3 more within X amount of days. Boom, they just show up. People walk in and go, "God told me to give you this." Or, "I saw this and I couldn't resist it." I had somebody this weekend walk in and hand me a box with angels all over it. And inside the box was a coffee mug with angels all over it. And inside the mug was an angel. And I'm like, "Alrighty then." So it's like, do they just keep coming? I have angels I haven't even unpacked yet from when I relocated from out of state. And the idea is that I say thank you to them. I talk to them. I verbally open my mouth and speak like they were sitting right in front of me. I know that they're here. I can hear their music. And so when I do feel that stress, when I do feel that trepidation regarding a choice I've made or a journey I need to take, it's not so much that I ask them to help me, it's that I know they're there. And I don't have to worry about all of a sudden saying, "Hey, look, angels, you know I don't have any conversation with you ever. So here's the deal. I really need you to show up." You know, like the State Farm commercials where the girl says, "Hey, State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there," and they show up and say, "You've got the money to buy those boots. Go ahead." It's like I don't have to call on them. They're there. And it's that faith and reliance that is really, I believe, the message that they want people to get. When you build a relationship with the angels, and they can be very specific, Archangel Michael, Haniel, Raphael, Uriel. I mean, we could go on. There's just thousands of them. But when you build a relationship with a special angel, your guardian angel, for instance, it's marvelous. But when you just build a relationship with angels, just the idea of angels in general, then you have that sense of peace and calm that actually keeps our energy elevated, and that directly affects everything from your own personal world to those that live around you and are in your vibration, to the actually what goes on in nature, you know, the tremendous storms and things that we have. when the Devic Kingdom, or the Devic Kingdom as some refer to them as, feel our energy as threatened and unstable, our weather becomes threatening and unstable. When they feel our energy as calm and peaceful and serene, our weather becomes calm and peaceful and serene. By relying on, tuning into, forming a bond with and a connection with angels, we elevate our own status to that level of peace and serenity that literally benefits every single energy being in the entire universe. And I just believe we're all connected. So to me, I would say that is no joke.
Mm-hmm. So the angels act as spirit guides?
Very much so. Very much so. I think that if there were people out there who gave readings on a regular basis, psychics, channels, mediums, they might take umbrage with connecting the term spirit guides and angels. And yet, I can't say that it's not a very similar experience. I do believe that angels are energy beings, and I believe that our spirit guides can be anything from animal, vegetable, or mineral. In other words, a human, a four-legged, a rock, a tree, a cloud. Yet, I believe that they act in a similar fashion. I really, really do. I believe angels can lead and guide us. I believe that our beloveds that have crossed over the other side of the veil can lead and guide us. Our pets can lead, that have left us or are living, are with us in the physical, can lead and guide us through their spirit energy. So, yeah, I guess so. With all due apologies to anybody that thinks differently, that's, hey, free world, man.
That's right.
All good.
That's right. So how do you advise people to ascertain information from the angels?
Thank you. The first way is believe in them. You know, it's like watching Peter Pan. And when Peter Pan says, if you believe in fairies, clap, because that's what saved Tinkerbell's life. Her light was getting fainter and fainter and fainter. And all at once, the whole audience starts clapping, and the light gets brighter again. I'm sitting here clapping like anybody can see that. Okay, Annette. But the light gets brighter again, and Tinkerbell's thriving, and Peter Pan and Tinkerbell go on to more adventures. Close the curtain. We're all done. But when you believe in the angels, first of all, that's a huge delight for them. I mean, think of yourself, Mike. If you've been trying to get your existence validated or have your existence validated for one reason or another, whether it's through your work or a friendship or some connection in any way, shape, or form, not for the sake of vanity, but for the sake of once you validate, know that I have a purpose on this earth, then I can share that purpose and you can take advantage of it. You can utilize it for what it's here for. The angels, knowing that we believe in them, knowing that we understand that they exist, can now be a part of our lives. They can now work with us in whatever form they choose. Sometimes feathers will appear. People will say to me, I was walking along and there was no way, like they're in the middle of a store and they find a feather on the ground and, you know, in an aisle somewhere, or they find it on a can of tuna shoved in the back of a display somewhere. And they're like, where'd that come from? I happen to believe that that is one way that angels or our spirit guides get in touch with us. Other times it's pennies. I find pennies and dimes. I kid you not. Pennies are real easy, but I'll walk along, boom, there's a dime. Walk along some other day, boom, there's another dime. I always, to me, believe that's an angel getting in touch with me, but it's because I believe in them. It's because I believe they exist, and when you believe something and you believe in something, they will manifest to you, whether it's the vision of a person that you knew that has passed over, an animal that you had that has crossed over, or an angel. When you believe, they will manifest, and I do put a caveat on that, and that is you have the right to say to them, do not scare me. Don't scare me. And I didn't know that for the longest time. I would see the dead, for lack of a better way to say that, ever since I was a little girl. And, of course, you know, here's this little girl, and I look out a window that I'm up on a second floor, and there's nothing there to support a human being, and I see the face of a friend of a family member that I literally just saw in their casket not 20 minutes earlier. And I'm screaming because they're talking to me. I'm like, hello, how are you? And I'm thinking, what are you? Well, they kept trying to get my attention until I realized that they were just trying to guide me. And I said to them, okay, great, but quit scaring me, okay? Because I'm going to not do this if you keep scaring me. And you know what? They've never scared me again, Mike. It's been a very calm, very easy presence. It's given me a whole new appreciation for the term death. it's given me a whole new appreciation for what we know, how we know. And the weird thing is, if you speak to enough people and they are sensing your sincerity about this topic, they will open up and tell you they too have seen an angel, or they too have seen, you know, a person from the other side or an animal from the other side. They will open up because it is more common and more prevalent than we've ever imagined. But I think that by believing and allowing ourselves to open up, we open up an entire world of understanding and camaraderie, which every great world leader, every great humanitarian has ever said, that is our goal in life, and that's what Spirit wants us to do. Angels are just helping us do that. So believe in them. That's the first thing. And then allow them to have fun with you. Allow them to be in your life. Tell them jokes, you know. Pick up an angel if you're so inclined. Have one. Talk to it. Say thank you to it. People say, do you pray to it? You can do anything you want. I mean, if that goes against your religious beliefs, don't pray to the angels. It's okay. It's all right. It's. I get that. But being open and then engaging them in all the good in your life, again, will put you back in touch with them immediately when there is something not so good in your life, something that could threaten you or harm you, because you know they're there. They just, it's like they step in front of you, like between you and the bully on the playground, and they don't let them hurt you. They don't let them hurt you. I'm living proof of that. They don't let them hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Annette Rochelle Aben, and she is known as Sister Angel and is also an on-air personality for Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And we're concentrating on talking about angels right now. So actually, you've been in touch with angels for many, many years. I mean, much longer than before you thought you had this event on the expressway with this truck. You have been aware of angels to one degree or another, correct?
Again, not necessarily aware of them,
mm-hmm.
but in their care. And it wasn't until I looked back in retrospect that I realized that had to be what happened. And I think they were trying to get my attention to get me to talk to them, because things that, and believe me, there are just absolutely horrible, horrible, unspeakable things that happen to children. And it's, we recoil in horror when we hear about infants that are placed in freezers because they're crying and their parents couldn't stand it, or children who were sold into slavery. And I mean, these are to not even consider the physical violence and the sexual violence of things that happen to children. These are unspeakable horrors. And yet, somewhere along the line, those that survive and move on in their lives had to survive because something somewhere kept that physical energy intact. Or if the emotional energy was going to be too devastating for them to live beyond, something had to keep that intact. And I believe in my case, the fact that I was not present in my body when the for lack of a better word, the atrocities were taking place, and I was young. I was between the ages of 5 and 7, and this went on pretty much daily, and nobody knew about it except the perpetrator and myself. But I was only cognizant of the very first time. There were telltale signs, and I believe that was the work of the angels, so that I would know something had happened, because things that then transpired later in life that I couldn't understand, you know, fears that I had grown up with, or things that I couldn't articulate, understanding certain things, had to have something that set that off. Well, when I started tracing it back, willingly or unwillingly, I started to see the signs. And it was like that, and like I said, family members that were present at different times in my life for other crazy things that went on, they could say, well, no, this is what happened. And I'd look at them and say, no, that's a dream I've had my whole life. They said, no, that wasn't a dream. So I realized then that when I was in that dream, the energy that I was surrounded by, because in the dreams I would always be up in a corner watching, And what I was watching going on was happening to a doll, and it didn't look anything like me. So there was no way I could figure that out, except that the group of people, I should have been in that group of people, and I wasn't. I was the only element physically not that was not there. And the energy that was surrounding me, the energy that kept me when I left my body during these times, I believe were angels. And the more I believe it, the more I get the confirmation, yes, that's very true. Yes, that's very true. And there are certain things that I don't need to relive or try to figure out, because with the angels, I understand that that person was taking out an aggression, if you will, or working through some sort of energy that they had to work through. And even though my body had to bear the brunt of that, anger, frustration, fixation, whatever the proper term is, I was safe. I was safe. And I didn't, until I realized that's what had happened, it was a huge struggle. I mean, I spent years and years dealing with alcoholism and drug abuse and things of that nature. I mean, just craziness in my life. I'm not saying anybody who does it is crazy. I'm saying in my life that was craziness. And it wasn't until I really got a huge wake-up call in 06. I fell in my home, and I couldn't walk for months. Now, when you're learning how to walk and you're a little child, you don't think anything about it. You're just determined to stand up. So, by God, you just keep doing it until you can walk. And if you fall down, you land on your little pampered rump, and it doesn't really hurt. Usually, you just crash to the ground, and everything's fine. But when you're almost 50 and you're having to learn how to walk again, that's a little different, because your human mind is saying, "Are you out of your mind? You got to be kidding me. You can't do this." And I'm telling you, you can't do it. And yet there's another part of you that says, "Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will." And that's when I started to really connect. That is when I actually felt and saw the wing of the Archangel Michael on my shoulder. And it was the tip of the wing, but it was only one strand of hair of that wing, but it was immense. And I remember feeling it, and I remember a friend of mine sitting there, and she's like, "What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see?" I said, "I don't know, but I think it's an angel wing," and my head just tilted back. And I looked up at the ceiling in my living room, but that ceiling wasn't there anymore. And this thing went on and on and on and on. I couldn't even see where it connected to any other part of the wing. And the only archangel that I'm aware of that is that big, that could cover the entire universe with just his wingspan, is the Archangel Michael. So I just knew at that point in time that whatever I was going to go through, whatever I was going to have occur in my life, with or without the ability to walk again, which I thank God I walk. I'm so grateful that I can walk, that Archangel Michael would always be there. And it was just an amazing, and I was actually scared to try the therapy because, first of all, it hurt. And secondly, I wasn't sure it was going to work. And the crazy thing was the last day of my therapy was an amazing experience. It was 18 days, 6 weeks, 3 days a week. The next day, the owner of the therapeutic clinic came to me, and he did an evaluation to make sure I was okay and whatever else. And I had no insurance. I had no way to pay these people. And I said, "Well, just submit the bill. I've turned it all over to Spirit. It'll all get paid. I promise you." And he said, "Come here." And he pointed to his cheek. And I looked at him, and my friend who was sitting there says, "Give him a kiss. That's what he wants." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" So I gave him a kiss on the cheek. He goes, "Paid in full," and he ripped the bill up. And I went, "Wow. Thank you." Then he said, "I want to show you something. I will try to get through this without crying because this was amazing." They had done an intake. They had sent the visiting nurses in, and they'd done an intake, and they wrote everything out that the people in the hospital had said and what I knew, which was not much. Nobody could figure out why I wasn't walking. And then they sent the therapist in. That was the end of that. Well, I met the guy that owned it, and then they sent the therapist in. Well, they have a sheet of a prognosis that they have to fill out for every case history. And he showed me mine, and it was blank. And I looked at him, and I said, "Bob, seriously, why is that blank?" And he very, very quietly said, "We didn't know what we could do for you because we didn't know what was wrong. We really thought all we could do was make you comfortable. We didn't really think you'd ever walk again." And I said, "Thank you for not limiting me. And thank you for when I looked that therapist smack in the face the second day and said, is this going to work? Because if this ain't going to work, you're not putting me through this. This is freaking painful. And she didn't even bat an eye. She looked at me and she goes, is this going to work? She did that job for free. He sent his people out for nothing. But they were convinced, some power convinced them that they needed to help me. And that whatever they did, even if they couldn't figure out what to do, was going to work. And the only other person that needed to be convinced of that was me. Because as long as I was convinced it was going to work, and they held that courage of their convictions, I, by God, walked. And the first time I could stand and hold my hands under running water, first time I could look out a window, first time I could walk to the toilet and sit on it myself without having to use the bedpan, fill in the blank on the rest of it, feed the cat myself, do my own laundry. I mean, all these things. Go to the grocery store on my own, cook my own food, live alone again. I'm going to tell you what, the little things that we take for granted. Angel's presence is not an overwhelming feeling. But for people who have never felt peace, calm, love, acceptance, tolerance, any of those, what we would think are more passive as opposed to jubilation and phenomenal happiness and outrageous, you know, joy, that is what it feels like. Like, it is such a humbling, immensely peace-filled experience that you just want to share that with everybody. You want everybody to feel that. And one of the things the angels remind us of is, hey, you can't create in somebody else's space. All you can do is show up, show your example, show your information. If they choose to take it a step further, they will. But that was, to me, one of the most amazing lessons in my life. And it was kind of crazy. I mean, the whole thing was just absolutely bonkers. And there were times I thought I was a nut burger for wanting to live alone. And I had some, you know, had a few close calls with craziness and stupidity. Someone tried to walk through my front door one day. I think they think when they see, you know, handicap stickers on the front of a house and a ramp and the whole nine yards that, you know, hey, easy touch or whatever. And it's like, nah, are you kidding? And even then, even when somebody tried to come through my back window, even when craziness ensued, there were angels always around my house. And never, never, ever, ever, ever did anybody get through those doors. Did anybody go unpunished or uncaught? I mean, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I just thank the angels and God and spirit and life force every single moment of every day for their companionship, their friendship, and their protection when needed, because it's there. It is so there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very reassuring, I would imagine, to know that you can count on that type of support and help. And again, people take for granted so many little things that we don't give a second thought to until you can't do them anymore. Then all of a sudden, like you said, it's important to do the little things, feeding your cat, using the bathroom, going out to be able to shop, little things that people don't really think twice about. But to have that kind of breakthrough, that must have been enlightening in and of itself, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I call it my Scrooge moment. You know, it's like you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, I see the joy of life. I see the beauty of life. You know, I've been this or I've been that. I've been, you know, not so good. I've been not so kind. I've been not so aware. I've been not so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, I've got all this to be grateful for, and I've got all these people, all these silly, simple things like the trees. That was one of the big things that I did after that when I was able to be mobile again, was I would get in my van and I would drive to the park. I lived in Toledo, Ohio at the time, and right around the corner from where I lived was a beautiful metro park called Swan Creek Metro Park. And I would go and I would sit in the park, and I had obtained a camera. Somebody had given me a little digital camera. And I would sit in the park and I would talk to the trees. I'd go pick up lunch, or I'd go to Starbucks or someplace, and I'd get a coffee and I'd go sit and talk to the trees. And I would love it. And the birds, and mind you, I'm terrified of birds. People come to my house with a bird, I am ducking under the sofa. I don't even want to go near that. I'll run and hide in the bathroom. Take the bird out, please. I love the bird. I don't want to hurt the bird. Get the bird out. So for me to be around birds is amazing. And I would sit, and I would talk to the birds, and the angels around the birds, and they would literally hop up and sit right on my car, right on my open window, and just talk to me. And robins. I was besieged by robins. They seemed to really like me. So I would sit and talk to these birds. And it was amazing because once I was in tune to being able to hear the angels, I could hear a tree talking to me. I could hear a bird talking to me. I could hear the grass talking to me. And I could hear people all over the place going, where on earth did you dig her up, Holloway? Are you kidding me?
Or what's she on?
This is not unique to me. Please understand, this is not unique to me. I could hear crystals talking to me years before. Again, I just didn't know. I didn't connect it. It wasn't until they kept smacking me upside the head with these events in my life that got my attention that I really realized what was going on. Once I did, it was amazing. So people will be so in tune, so in touch, you'll find peace. Now, does that mean that my life is perfect? Heck no. You know, do I have to go to the store and make sure that I remember how much money's in my bank account and what I have coupons for before I buy it? Yes, I do, and that's a responsible thing for me to do. So if I know I've only got $10, I only spend $8 because I don't need anything more than $8 worth. In other words, I spend what I need, I let it go. Do I walk without the aid of an appliance? Absolutely not. Right now, I have a walker. Who knows? Maybe in X amount of time, I'll be out running marathons, legs will work perfect, and I won't need a walker. I still believe it's possible. Heck, there was a time I didn't believe I'd walk, or there was a time I didn't know I could. But when you suspend belief and you say, you know what, I'm willing to try, even if it means it doesn't work, I believe that that's when that relationship that you formed with those guides, with those angels, with those energies, really steps up to the plate and says, well, you know what, we've just been waiting for you to believe that. We've just been waiting for you to try. Because guess what? We're going to get you through it. We're going to get you through it. We're going to give you the loving, cheerleading support to take that next step, whether it's literally walking or it's applying for that job or it's saying, returning that phone call from somebody that a friend got a number from, and let's say they want to date you and you didn't want to return the call because you were scared. The idea is the angels really do remind us to, number one, take ourselves lightly so we can fly through anything. Number two, that we are never alone. And number three, all we have to do is try. They'll do every single other thing in the world, whether it's this world or an outer celestial world, to show us that our work was not in vain and that we can always, 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 always count on them. And I mean that, always count on them.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever scared initially when you started to... talk to different bodies that you had seen not moving, that were passed away, had crossed over, spirits that had crossed over? That had to be frightening. So how long did that take you to really acknowledge the fact they were there and to appreciate what it was they were trying to do for you and to help you?
Okay, that's not that difficult for me actually to figure out when I can go. I can date it. Because it's really kind of an interesting thing. The first time I was cognizant of seeing a ghost, for lack of a better way to say it, and it was actually a relative, I was in the third grade. And I don't really remember the year except to say that I was probably 6 years old. I started school when I was four. So kindergarten, I was four, seven. And then first grade, I was five, and second grade, I was six, and third grade, I was seven. So I was 7 years old. It was the year after Kennedy was shot, I can tell you that. I remember that because that's when I was in third grade.
Okay, 1963.
We had a death in the family, and my mother's brothers, and we had gone to the funeral home to see him, and the corpse was pretty tore up. He had been hit by a bus and pretty tore up. And we're just she and I in the little viewing area, and she took it very, very hard. And we walked back to the house, and the rest of the family was there. And I went upstairs to my bedroom, and this was a house that he grew up in with my mother. And when I turned around, and mind you, he was not a kid. My mother was in her 20s, but Uncle Bobby had to be in his 30s. He was several years older than she was. She was the baby out of 13. And his face appeared in the window, and it was beautiful. There were no marks, no cuts, no bruises. and he was smiling. And in his voice, but his lips were not moving, he said, "They are lying to you, honey. They're lying to you." Well, I just like, I started screaming like, you know, somebody was beating me. And everybody came flying up the stairs, and I'm screaming, you know, "Uncle Bobby's out there talking to me. And they put me in the bed, went across the street to the hospital. Doctor came over, gave me a shot. I don't remember anything. I don't remember a thing after that, seriously, for many years. It was kind of crazy. But when I turned 30, so now here we are 23 years later, I found out what the lie was. The lie was that he had committed suicide. He did not die from getting hit by a bus, although when he landed on the ground, he was run over by a bus, but he jumped out of a hotel room. You know, he was dealing with a lot of mental problems. We had visited him in a mental hospital, as a matter of fact, at one point in his life. So that wasn't whatever. I mean, it was just, we knew that. But the crazy thing was that up until I got to 1992, and I walked into a spiritualist church in Toledo, Ohio, at the behest of a friend who said, "Hey, you get free psychic readings if you go to this church." I'm like, "I am all about that. Let's go." And I didn't leave for years. I kept going back. That was where I realized. That was where I understood. That was where it was presented to me that, you know, Annette, this is just something that is very normal, and you don't need to be afraid of it. And they were the ones that told me, "Well, honey, if you're afraid when these ghosts come to you, you just tell them to stop scaring you, or you're not going to do their work." And I remember standing up in that church and putting my hands on my hips like some defiant two-year-old and saying, "I'll do your work, but you have no right, and you will not be allowed to scare me anymore." And everybody just cheered, and like I was some little kid that just learned how to spell her name and give her phone number in case she got lost. And from that point forward, they never scared me again. They never intimidated me. I was still able to talk to them. I was still able to do readings. I was still able, in fact, to communicate even more in depth and to really, really do some cool, cool stuff for people that, you know, still to this day, you know, I do private readings, and people are welcome to contact me. The best way is through Facebook, Annette Rochelle Abe, and send me a message, and we'll connect. I see very few people in my home because it's my office, but it's also my home, and I keep that very, very guarded. If I had an office like I used to and a secretary and things of that nature, which I did for years, I would have no problem having people over a lot for readings, but mostly do them over the phone, the internet, I email, and I have people that I read for all around the world. So I really do believe that the angels opening me up to gifts and opportunities was really amazing. The fact that I was shown finally that I don't have to be afraid. And the really crazy thing was they stopped appearing the way they used to because I know I don't need to physically see them. And, oh, I saw quite a few. I used to work in a funeral home. I saw dead people all the time. It was absolutely amazing. So but they only came to me when they knew they wouldn't scare me. So it was like, cool. But see, we do have that, Mike. We do have that option. You don't have to be frightened by these energies. You don't have to be frightened by what they say or do. That is not why they're there. They are not there to scare us. They are not there to make us worry. They are only there to communicate. And there's such wonderful love and awesome, yummy energy that they want to communicate. I mean, a lot of times they just want people to know they're okay. So I'll get the message to contact somebody. 9 times out of 10, it's someone I know, but sometimes it's not. And let them know that their loved one is okay. Because even though you could figure that out for yourself, if you'd listen, if you were tuned in, or anybody, meaning you, meaning the universal you, not you specifically, necessarily, you would know that yourself, and you wouldn't have to worry. Again, you would see death as an entirely different scenario. It is not what we think it is by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. It's not really the end. It's a new beginning, correct?
It's continuation, right. It's kind of like getting out of a bus and getting into a cab. Mm-hmm. Getting out of a cab and walking into the airport and getting on a plane. If you're just a different mode of transportation, that's all. Taking a change of clothes with you.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes. That's very important.
That's all it is.
Yes. Well, that's good to know, though, that you can feel the love that is there so that it supports you and you know you can face the future with open arms and just embrace it, and whatever happens, happens, and you know that whatever it is for your own higher good.
You got that right. Absolutely. And we are connected to all of that. I mean, everything is energy. Everything. Rocks are energy. Trees are energy. Sun is energy. Wind is energy. Light is energy. So it's one of those things that, because we can be tangible in this body and our energy is something we're used to because it's familiar to us. Flesh is familiar. Hair is familiar. Eyes, you know, our tongues, when we blow our nose, that's you know, excrement. Everything is familiar to us because it's ours. The same as sap is to a tree. The same as feathers are to a bird. You know, hooves are to a horse. It's just that that's their costume. That's their connection. So birds tend to look at us like, how come, you know, I have eyes on either side of my head, but you have eyes in the front of your head? You know, it's very different. If you really look, it's a very different layout. But we're not different. We just have our own role, our own purpose, our own reason for being here. So we need the vehicles we come in so that we can carry out our role.
Mm-hmm. Now, once again, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I would suggest, actually, and people laugh at me, you can hook up with me on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is Sister Angel, and they can also hook up with me on Facebook. That is Annette Rochelle Aben, which is why I continue to use the name when I introduce myself to new people, because if you want to find me, that's where I am. You can also go to bodymindspiritradio.com, and you can find me in my shows, In Touch Interviews, or Ready, Set Intention, which is just 15 minutes of pure, okay, guys, let's kick butt, start Monday, and set our intentions for a great life, and let's go. You can leave me messages on the fan pages for those shows, and I get those. So that's not an issue, but really, I would say either Twitter, Facebook, or Body, Mind, Spirit Radio are the easiest way to find me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's very good to know. Well, we are going to have to wrap up the interview now. I just want to say it was very enjoyable, Annette, hearing from you and giving us your take on angels and just the advice that you have presented to us. It was quite enlightening, and thank you very much for being on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I appreciate it as well, and angels be with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I just want to thank my special guest this month, Annette Rochelle Aben, for being on the show. Very enlightening, I thought. It's interesting how she channels the angels and how they have helped her through some very trying times. I've heard of that happening to many different people along their paths where angels or spirit will help them get through some very, very rough times. I also want to thank my producer for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking, Brandon Stevens. I appreciate all of his help as well. Be sure to join me next month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Until that time, have a great day, everybody.
This is Omni646, and I'm inviting you to ride out with me on the Rhythmic Ride this Saturday and every Sunday from 10 p.m. to midnight. We will listen to all types of music along the sonic spectrum, everything from rock to hip-hop to R&B to rap. And you know what? We will have a blast. So be sure to tune in from 10 p.m. to midnight this Saturday and every Saturday on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
SSS.gov presents good advice from Dad.
Do that.
Dad's advice is usually pretty simple.
Don't do that.
Here's Dad on important topics like asking out that girl you like.
Do that.
On asking out her sister.
Don't do that.
Now here's Dad on going to SSS.gov and registering with Selective Service when a young man turns 18.
Do that.
See? Dad knows it's the law and that registering will preserve your eligibility for college loans and government jobs. Go to SSS.gov today and register.
Do that.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
WHFR, Dearborn. WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of The Best of Broadway. And this afternoon we're going to play the score of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. This is starring Donny Osmond, and it's the original Canadian cast recording. It says it's opened in at the Elgin Theatre in Toronto, Canada, on June 18, 1992. And there's a narrator who goes through the whole play. It's based on the story of the Bible of Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors. It's a narrator, takes us through the whole play and explains all the different things going on. So we really might as well just get started right away and with the overture and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We're coming to you on the station Making Waves, WHFR.FM, 89.3 on your FM dial, and we're coming to you from the beautiful campus of Henry Ford Community College in the world-class community of Dearborn, Michigan. So now, on with the show.
Some folks dream of the wonders they'll do before their time on this planet is through. Some just don't have anything planned. They hide their hopes and their heads in the sand. Now I don't say who's wrong, who is right, but if by chance you are here for the night,